Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Taro International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Taro.com.
Today, we launched Out to Lunch with Michael Libby, based on a regular feature from NBC News called Takeout with Major Garrett. Only they, now they talk politics. Us? Well, each week we go to lunch with a high-profile individual and talk business. We'll air our segment this coming Friday. But it did give us the chance to sit down with our host, Lynn Pritchard from Table 128, for a conversation about the restaurant industry, staff, food, and, of course, Julia Child. Lynn, thank you for allowing us to do Out to Lunch.
Absolutely, here our pleasure.
Table 128. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the restaurant business, if I can.
Absolutely.
We've gone through a spate of restaurant closures here in the greater Des Moines metro over the past several months.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shaky business, I would suspect, at any rate. But what do you think, Lynn, is really the essence to keep customers continually infatuated with your brand and with the product that you put out?
That's a great question. I don't know that there is a singular answer to that. It's many things working in conjunction, heading towards the right direction. It's constantly being innovative from a food and beverage standpoint. It's keeping in close contact with what your customers are wanting and producing that, again, in line with your own brand. Having great relationships in the community with our marketing partners, you know, our partners on the street, our partners, vendor partners. And then behind that, which is something that most restaurant goers don't see, is creating that really strong family culture inside the restaurant. You know, recruiting good people, training, and more training. And then keeping them interested in our brand and our vision. And just keeping that vision changing enough all of the time to keep it fresh and exciting and inviting for them to want to come back and spend 12 to 15 hours a day with us.
One of the things I think that's so important, and I know that you do this on a regular basis, is the person that's really signing the checks has got to be in the establishment. How important is that?
You know, it's one of those 2,000 paramount pieces to a restaurant. I wish I could say that, you know, we could outsource a CFO position, but, you know, fortunately, and I'm blessed to have a truly brilliant business partner in my wife, and we both keep a very keen eye on literally every cent coming and going.
When you talk about Sarah, that's your bride,
yes.
How integral is that? I mean, this is a busy business. This is something that takes you out of the home quite a bit. How does that relationship work for a successful restaurateur?
Is it working?
I don't know. I'm asking.
No, it is working. And the challenge is keeping that freshness alive in our personal relationship as active as it is in our professional relationship. Holding ourselves accountable to things that we say that we're going to do, to things that we say that we're going to execute, and quite honestly, knowing when to turn technology off. You know, we have several rules about that in our home. There's no technology in the kitchen when we sit down for a breakfast or a lunch together.
Good for you.
When we decide that it's time to go to bed. Now, that may be on a really lucky night, 9:30, or it could be 2 in the morning. There's no technology. So we really closely guard that personal time, and creating and forging that personal time is as important in a business partnership,
sure,
as it is in our personal partnership.
When Lynn and Sarah Pritchard go out for dinner, what do you do? Or do you eat at home?
About the only time, now I have to chuckle with this, on the rare occasion that we have the opportunity to dine out in town, it's usually talking about work. When we have more than two meals together, it usually means that we're on a work trip or perhaps a personal trip. And we're usually talking about work then, too.
Wow.
You know, we're constantly keeping our eyes open as to what our peers are doing, whether it be in market or out of market. We just returned from a work trip out of state, and, you know, the three meals that we had when we were gone, you know, we're constantly, you know, kind of rubbernecking to see what points of service we could possibly synthesize and make part of our brand, or what new flavor profiles are other chefs and other kitchens working with that, again, we could synthesize and kind of make our own. You know, Julia Child, one of my professional mentors, and you and I have talked about
yes.
Julia before, she said there's no such thing as an original recipe, but chefs have to feed their egos as much as they do their guests.
And is that true?
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely it's true.
Julia knew what she was talking about.
Julia Child never told us a bad story, I
no.
don't think. Which, by the way, brings me to another question that I hadn't planned on asking. But you're back to doing some Julia Child things here at Table 128.
We are. We actually just kicked off the Dining with Julia series. It's every Tuesday evening in April. We had so much fun with it last fall, and I was a bit overwhelmed by the response to it. You know, when we kicked it off in September of last year, I think you and I spoke
yes.
right at the genesis of that process. You know, I thought this is going to be fun. People will kind of get a kick out of it. Julia was this larger-than-life character. But Julia actually kind of got into the psyche and into the DNA of generations of Americans. You know, we grew up with watching her from WGBH in Boston, and it became part of our kitchen culture. It became part of our societal culture. And people really embraced her because she was completely down to earth. She was real. You know, she joked about it. If you drop something on the floor in the kitchen and nobody sees it, did it really happen? I mean, she was just that real type of a character. And, you know, we had guests bringing in signed copies of her books.
Oh, really?
And telling their personal stories about having met her at a book signing in San Francisco or Pasadena or Boston. I was really overwhelmed by that type of a personal connection that people had with Julia Child.
Is it because of her simplicity, you think? And she was not necessarily a simple cook, or was she a simple cook?
You know, it's interesting trying to answer that from a professional
yes.
position. You know, we might have, and I don't necessarily like recipes that have this biblically long ingredient list. That's really not my style. I don't think that allows truly exquisite ingredients to sing and speak to themselves. But in going back and revisiting some of those techniques from Julia Child, it really is technique-driven. If you look at the nucleus of her book, it's really about 50 or 60 beautiful, singular ingredients that combined with the right heat application and the right application of seasoning at different points in that execution, that's the essence of French cuisine.
Lynn Pritchard, ladies and gentlemen, has been our host for Out to Lunch with Michael Libby. That would be me with Lynn Pritchard. Thank you so much for opening up your restaurant to us for this new adventure.
We're thrilled. Thank you.
Out to Lunch, a new feature on the Business News Hour. In other business news, voters in Ames and in Greene County yesterday approved bond issues for new schools and school renovation. In Ames, voters have approved a $110 million bond referendum for a new high school. Results from yesterday's vote show residents passed that referendum with more than 80% support.